Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, we're starting?
Yeah. This is what we do.
Oh, okay. You're throwing me in the cold water. Germans don't like cold water. They like mild water.
You're throwing me in the cold water.
Yes. That's not an expression.
Sort of, yeah. Anyway. Hi, everybody. I hope you're as tired as I am, because what the fuck? Medvedev finished at what time?
3:46 a.m.
3:46 a.m. I did not watch till the end. I can just promise you that. But I was up till about 2 watching it. He won the third set. I said, I can't do it anymore. I went to bed because I was at the courts late, calling Azarenka. The match has finished yesterday. What a day of tennis. I'm sorry. That is one of the, arguably one of the most unbelievable days of Grand Slam tennis ever.
The day yesterday had more incredible matches than all of the last 3 slams together.
You said that to me last night.
I swear, I looked it up yesterday again. I remember US Open was okay, but I remember the French and Wimbledon not having that many great matches. You had a few, but over the course of a fortnight, right? Yesterday, it was, if you had Rod Laver tickets yesterday,
oh my God.
It didn't matter whether it was day or night session. I mean,
literally, you literally saw some of the greatest comebacks, matches. All right, let's start with Iga Swiatek.
Yes.
Before we get to the match that we need to all talk about. But Iga Swiatek, I mean, which we thought was probably going to be the match we were going to talk about. Down 4-1, up, first of all, up a set and a break.
And a break, yep.
And then just went a little bit la-la land, got a little bit...
you will love this.
Yeah,
because
you were courtside for this night.
I was courtside, and you will love this because I thought of you, because you have a really good instinct, and so does Chanda Rubin, for that matter, because I was calling that match with her. You have a really good instinct for one point that can turn the match around.
Yeah.
And it was 6-4, 1-all, and she had 2 break points. And a routine second serve backhand return that she missed, but not like with intention. She just didn't go for it, and she didn't play it safe, and she missed it. And Chanda in that moment said, oh, that's a strange return, miss. And I was thinking of you because I feel like you're oftentimes the one that goes like, oh, that's a strange miss. And all of a sudden, the whole match turned around. It just seemed like I saw Danielle Collins look up, and it seemed like she gained hope.
Yeah.
And it was like she saw,
she's like, oh,
the world
she's...
number one is fallible.
Yeah.
What is this? I've never seen that. And Iga just seemed rattled.
Yeah.
And Danielle.
Princess Diana's back playing
Diana.
Tennis.
Well, and Danielle went on, Danielle Collins, that is. Danielle Collins went on a streak of the next 5 games of tennis that I have never seen before. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Danielle. She can produce stuff like that. And she's got that personality. And she's got that, like, just... in your face, and the crowd. It was just incredible what she was doing. And interestingly, you did a great post-match interview with Iga. She said to you, I just had to, in the end, realize that it's not possible. Is it possible for somebody to keep playing tennis like that?
Yeah.
You know, and she got down 4-1, 2 breaks a serve. Her second serve is so vulnerable. That was just not good. Just sitting in the middle of the box, just getting handed to her by Collins in the end. And
well, and the problem is she has that kick, right? Which can be effective against most players. And that's why she's also really good on clay, because it jumps a bit higher. However, she seems to have problems against players with great backhands who are tall.
Yeah.
Danielle Collins, Rybakina, Sabalenka, that kick. And she has a lot of trouble changing that to the forehand or into the body with a bit of slice. So she keeps playing that kick serve that sits up and is just being punished by these type of players.
Happy days for players with great backhands. And Danielle Collins has one of the great backhands of all time. So, but anyway, she found a way. She clawed her way back in because Danielle Collins all of a sudden at 4-1 just couldn't hit a ball in the court either.
And we had a really interesting stat actually. So from in the third set, up until the third set, so Danielle Collins 4-6, won all, and until winning the second set and being up 4-1, her average speed per hour, her average speed on the forehand side, English is a tough
forehand
language.
Forehand and backhand, or just forehand?
No, this was the forehand, because backhand is always...
Always hard.
Always hard.
Yeah.
On the forehand was 75 miles per hour, and when she was up 4-1, it dropped to 58 miles per hour.
Wow.
That is an insane stat. That is 10 miles approximately.
That's called choking.
I didn't.
That is called getting tight as a drum and trying to just make the shot as opposed to going for the shot, which is what gets you up 4-1 in the third without question. Because the only way that you beat Iga Świątek is to push her back, particularly on the forehand. And if you don't push her back, she will control the point every single time.
Yes.
And her backhand was great yesterday. It was almost like she was looking for backhands over forehand.
Yeah,
which,
we talked about this right after the match, which was interesting.
Yeah, which is, I mean...
You had a really good point about this, actually, because I was like, it's so strange that Iga is not taking forehands from the middle, because that is why it's so hard to play her. Great movers against Iga have problems because you can't see when you set up for a forehand. You close your shoulder and you can't tell where it's going to go. And yesterday, Iga was taking backhands from the middle, and I asked you, and you're like, well, on the fast surface, she just doesn't feel comfortable. Can you explain technically why that is on this surface?
I think when she got tight yesterday, I think right towards the end, she's more willing and happy to take backhands in some respect because she has the left hand and the second hand to help her cover the ball, right? And so, whereas if she covers it too much on the forehand, it actually goes in the net.
Mm.
And if she doesn't hit out on it, it'll fly on her. So I think on the backhand side, she feels like she can, as you know, as a two-hander, I mean, I don't know, understand because I was a one-hander, but I would imagine for a two-hander, you guys feel like you can swing a little more with your two-hand and use your left hand to cover the ball and control it. But, oh my God, she bounced back after losing those two match points, particularly the match point where she had an overhead and she had swinging volleys and she was just, you could tell she was just shitting herself. But you got to give her credit. She dug deep. Now, for me, is that the match that turns it around for her and lets her think, all right, because she's had an unbelievably tough draw. She's played a former winner here in Sophia Kennan, a former finalist here in Danielle Collins. Both of them are feisty. Both of them hit the ball big and good.
And both with great backhands.
And she got through those matches. So I got to think that that's going to give her a tremendous amount of confidence going through this tournament now, because for me it's got to feel like she's playing with house money now, having won that match yesterday. So let's get to the other women's match.
Let's just first mention it that Carlos Alcaraz played a really good match, also a very entertaining match, as we are used from him, against Sonego, who's playing really well this year.
So fun.
He has a great intensity. I first saw him in that Rome match against Novak Djokovic when he won the second set tiebreak and the Italian crowd was going absolutely insane. And I was like, man, this kid is really good.
Yeah.
And by kid, I mean a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he is. But he was beaten by a grown-ass man who's also kind of a kid in our
class. Yeah, that's true.
And then walks onto the court, Rybakina and Blinkova.
1 hour later than expected. So they already have only two matches in the day session to not have that the night session starts later.
And it does. And we had a rain break, but it was only for about maybe 20 minutes. So the fact that it went till about 8 o'clock into the night session and then the night session went on late, cut to hoping, I'm sure the tournament, that Rybakina was just going to smack Blinkova's butt and we would be back on the schedule and not too bad.
That's 100% what they were thinking. I mean, I don't know, but you just have to, right? If you're the tournament director and the committee, 100% you're thinking, this is 1 hour and 5 minutes and then we're on to schedule.
We won't be too late. Oh, no. The women just decide to play the three-set match of a lifetime, concluded by the longest tiebreak in the history of Grand Slam tennis. 22-20. 10 match points for Blinkova. 6 match points for Rybakina. It was, I was calling the match. You were calling the match for the World Feed. I was calling the match for ESPN. And I've had the pleasure of, you know, watching a lot of tennis, as have you. I've had a lot of pleasure to call matches, as have you now. I have never sat through a more up and down situation in my life on a commentary booth. I mean, Chris Fowler and I were just, three or four points would go by in the tiebreak and we wouldn't say anything.
We were almost silent for the entire tiebreak because we were muting ourselves. We were dying. We were standing up. You are in the low booth. You are right behind the court.
Yeah.
But we are on the top. So we were standing, leaning over the window. We can open the window. We had the window open. I was on my knees. I had my hands over the head. I didn't know whether I was crying or throwing up. Oh. Like the nurse, I could barely breathe. I could just, Laura Robson, who was courtside, I could just go, oh my God. Oh my God, with that British posh accent. Yeah. It was absolutely, we were just looking at, she kept looking up at the box, right, raising her hand, going like, what is happening? It was really the insanity. It's just, if you have the time, if you have 35 minutes, because this is how long this tiebreak
took.
Go
find it.
Please go on YouTube, find this tiebreak and watch it in the entirety, because this is maybe the most insane thing I, at least, have witnessed in the last 16 years I was on tour.
I mean, Blinkova goes to serve for this match. I mean, first of all, Rybakina coming back, she was down a set and a break, comes back, wins the second set. You think, okay, it's over, right? Done, momentum is going to swing now. She's going to play well, which she did. She was playing well. Blinkova clearly got nervous with a set and a break situation. So you think she's not going to be able to handle them, you know. And then she comes out, looks great in the third, and then Blinkova just turns out and says, no, I'm not giving this match to you. Plays unbelievable, serves for the match of 5-4, plays the most ridiculously bad game at 5-4. Like, all of a sudden, a different human being entered Blinkova's body. She thought she was a serve and volleyer, comes into the net, misses that swinging back and volley. Then she comes in on game point, and it's like, she's like Roger Federer, or she's like trying to play like me, like hit, I can't play from the baseline, get me to the net, like runs in on this like most ridiculous, misses this backhand volley by about.
Was Roger Federer, but Roger Federer on crystal meth.
Yeah, exactly. Good one. She literally, I was like, I was thinking in my brain where she was doing, it's like, where is she going? What is she doing? And she hits the worst volley to lose the game. And Chris Fowler and I just looked at each other. And he's like, is that considered a brain fart? And I was like, yeah. I mean, and then you think, okay, she's never going to recover from that, right? No, she breaks serve because Rybakina was definitely not her best, was missing and feeling the pressure. And then you think, okay, she can, no way she's going to serve it out again. Well, she gets a match point, gets another match point, doesn't win. Rybakina hits winner after winner. And you're just like, oh my God, this is insane. Goes into the tiebreak. You're like, there's no way Blinkova's going to win now, right?
Yeah.
Surely not.
Yeah.
And then she gets down in the tiebreak and you think, okay, you know, Rybakina is going to win. I'm looking up at her coaching box, you know, Rybakina's coaching box, and Vukic is like the whole time, he's just like talking the whole time. I'm like, oh my God, I would die if he was my coach, because I was like, how many things are you going to tell me in the space of 3 minutes? You know what I mean? And then Blinkova fights her way back, gets a match point. I mean, it was just non-stop. I just kept thinking, okay, now it's over, right?
We have to talk about the one match point save.
18-17.
By Blinkova, 18-17. I thought five times, this is it. This is over. Rybakina played the perfect point.
Yeah, perfect.
She didn't do anything wrong. But, and I said that on the call. I said it before the match even started. I said, you will witness somebody that does the sport with the most amount of respect for the sport I've ever seen. Blinkova is limited in her ability. She's not very fast. She has a little bit stiffness in her technique, but she will fight. She will scramble. Yeah. She works hard. She changed her complete forehand. She had a huge swing with a different grip, and it was very attackable. She changed her complete forehand because she saw this impossible. She changed her serve. She used to serve 155 Ks an hour. Yesterday, she was matching Rybakina in the first set and a half on serve stats. So it just comes to show you, and I was really happy, and I love Rybakina. I love her
game. Love her.
But she will bounce back. She's a champion. She showed glimpses of it yesterday. Yeah. She's a champion. She plays so good under pressure. But Blinkova, I was so happy that life rewards these people. She's just good people. She's person, and she respects the sport. She always behaves so well. And I don't know if you told the story on the pod before, but I think it's really pertinent to her character and what kind of woman she is. The thing that you told me yesterday in Cincinnati when Sam Stosur and I don't know who she was. She
Yang
playing Zhuang Shuai. When they beat them in doubles.
Yeah, she was down. Just a little quick story. Blinkova was up a set and I think like 5-1 with her partner against Sam and Shuai. And Sam and Shuai ended up coming back and winning the match. And they got really tight, the opposition. But our girls played good to come back. But sitting on the bike after the match, and I said, oh, sorry, Anna. And she's like, oh, it's okay. Really good luck. Best of luck in the next match. Mm. They played really well. Blah, blah. I was like, oh, my God, I would have walked back to the hotel if I lost that and hopefully got hit by a car on the highway.
Yeah,
like,
being so up 5-1 in doubles,
no,
right?
She was so kind, so nice. It was unbelievable. So, as you said, what an incredible, that point at 18-17, when she hit back like 2 or 3 squash shot forehands, just snatched them back into the court with the slice and it allowed her to get into the point back and then hits a winner. I mean, it was just, I mean, you can tell from us. I mean, I'm so friggin' tired right now and it just took me back to that moment and I just can't believe what I witnessed.
Yes.
And then for Rybakina to miss that backhand on match point was actually kind of shocking because
there was the one, like, as you call it, brain fart. Because all the other match points, yeah, she does get still a little bit tight on the forehand. It's much better, but she, like, that's all normal. But that backhand, that's her money shot, right? She never misses that. That's maybe the one thing where you're like, that's strange. Apparently, this is what I will say in Rybakina's defense. She was having trouble with her Achilles or her lower calf. It was a little bit unclear. But we had a microphone in the coach's box and we could hear her physio at one time saying he's German. For me, it was the best thing ever. Fitness coach Croatian, physio German. I understood every single thing. So I was just translating everything that was coming out of the...
Multilingual
Petko. It was just lucky that my parents are Serbian. And he was saying she has something on her... We couldn't quite make it out, but he was showing, like, basically the ankle or the Achilles or something on the... How do you call this?
On the foot. The heel.
So I will say that she was a bit bothered by something on her foot, just in general.
Yeah, well, she was still moving pretty well, but you're right, you know, maybe something was bothering her. But just to see Blinkova, like, go to the ground, and she ran over to her, like, coach's area after the match, which you never do, like, unless you win the tournament.
In the second round,
But also, I was thinking, she was running, girl, you run over there. You just won the most incredible tiebreak in the history of Grand Slam tennis. Yeah. And imagine if she had lost at 10 match point. But you know what? You said she'll never recover from that. And I said, you know what? She would.
She's the only type of person
that would be like, well, it was just meant to be.
Yeah.
Not my day today. And you'd just be like, what? You had 10 match points. You know what I mean? But she'd be like, no, she played good on those match points.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, she's just that type of person.
Anyway. I mean, I said this to Josh Eagle, was my co-commentator, and I said, I muted us, and I was like, if she loses this match, her career is over. My career would have been over. Yeah. I would have never recovered. But I have one more minute before I have to run to the side.
Medvedev wins.
4 hours, 23 minutes. We mentioned it. They finished the match at 3:46 a.m. He beat Emil Ruusuvuori, who's fucking good.
Yeah,
man.
He's good. But anyway, listen, that was unbelievable. I don't know how he's going to recover from that and be able to play the next day.
Because he is here to win the tournament.
Yeah, of course.
This has to be said. And, you know, you have to be, like, she said it in the great on-court interview with Laura afterwards. She said, this is the greatest day of my life.
Oh, I know.
And it's true. For somebody like Medvedev, he's like, fuck, I want to win this tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't be out here for 4.5 hours until 4 a.m. in the morning.
Having said that, Blinkova has a pretty good draw now. That draw is completely opened up. But I want to give a shout out to Sloane Stephens. She took out Kasatkina yesterday. So she's looking good. And my pick for outside the top 10 to do really well in this tournament is Qin Wen Chen. And guess what? She's looking really good.
Yeah.
And she's in a section of the draw that can
do
some damage. Emma Navarro won again for the American audience back there.
But speaking about Americans, Jess Pegula is out.
What the hell?
Yeah, that was really strange.
I'll be honest, I didn't see the match because I was working the greatest tiebreak in the history of the world, as were you. I don't know. I mean, unless she wants to get back and watch the Bills play.
Well, Clara Burrell is a very talented French player. I know I met Jess Pegula at the airport. We landed at the same time in Melbourne last week, and she was struggling with a viral illness.
Yeah, that there's no question that she's not
well.
It
was something with the stomach, yeah. And that costs you so much substance.
Yeah.
And she played on the hot day. You know, she's probably been super dehydrated, yeah. And
that's what I put it down to. And yes. I think it was so windy yesterday. Maybe just the brain wasn't there, the body wasn't there, and she didn't respond. And yeah, a shocking loss for somebody who's so consistent.
So
usually.
Consistent. But if anybody has seen it, please let us know what happened there.
Tweet us at.
Tennis experts that you follow.
Yeah. Tweet us at. We have no idea.
Now I will leave the rest to you. There were so many on the men's side too. There were like three matches that ended up 7-6 in the third.
Casper Ruud, yeah. Zverev got through. Azarenka got through last night as well in three sets. That's why
Ostapenko,
I was so like,
Tomljanovic, the drama match.
Oh man, that was unbelievable. The crowd, even though it was late, really late, the crowd over there was unbelievable. And of course, Ostapenko was loving every second of it. Niskova, good player.
Very good player. One of the best backhand. But I mean, honestly,
she's going to get Czech killed player, in the next match.
No, and also a Czech player. Young Czech player coming up on tour, you're like, oh, I wonder how she plays. And you see like, 3 points and you're like, yeah, this is the best backhand in the world I've ever seen. What is up with these backhands? Karolina Pliskova is the only exception.
She just happens to have one of the best serves, yes, and best forehands.
And the best forehand. But literally every other Czech player has the best backhand I've ever seen. I don't know what they put in the backhand water over there.
I don't know. But anyway, Grigor Dimitrov got through against Kokkinakis in an unbelievable atmosphere as well. He's looking really good. He's in four sets. So that's world-class performing from Grigor Dimitrov over the last few weeks. Tommy Paul looked great in four sets. He got through. He's going to be tough to beat. Obviously, he made the semis here last year, so he feels good here. Herbie Hurkacz, once again, goes the distance. Oh. If it's three sets or five sets, it doesn't matter. That's what he likes to do. How much time can I spend on the court? Cam Nori is squeaking through. As I said, Qin Wen Zhang, I think, is the one that's looking really good.
Emma Raducanu out?
Yeah, out. I don't know what was going on in the third set. She had the trainer out to, like, help with her pulse, and I don't know what's going on, but
she was ill. Yeah, she said in her press conference that she was ill and she didn't want to.
And Alex Mickelson, this young American guy who's doing really well, he took out Lehechka in four sets. He looked really, really good. He's a talent. Elena Svitolina is just like
she's flying under
moving
the
along,
yeah.
And so did Francis Azur Aliassime. So nice to see him win some matches at Grand Slam.
I love that you just said Francis.
Francis, oh my God. Felix.
Stubbs has slept on average the last 5 days.
5 hours.
4 to 5 hours.
Maybe at max. Everyone at home is like, yeah, cry me a river, Stubbs.
I will let you take this to an end. Bring us over the finish line. Girlfriend, I'm headed to the side. And I see you over there.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure, like always.
Thank you, my friend. And for people at home, or listening to this wherever you are, all around the world, thanks for joining us again. What was that, day 5? Or did it go into day 6? I don't know.
Five.
It feels like day 48 for us who've had very late nights, including Petco. But guys, thanks for joining us today. Wow, what a day of tennis. Seriously, one of the best at Grand Slam in the history of Grand Slam play. Yesterday at the Australian Open goes down as one of the great days that I've ever experienced, not only as a commentator, but as a tennis fan, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. Have fun today. There's going to be some ripper matches as well.
Cheers!
Bye, y'all!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.